Well, folks, for this week's culture segment, I am in the studio looking at their wonderful faces, Bill and Pam Farrell. Welcome to you two.
Hi, great
it's
to be here.
It's been a while since you've been on the Boundless Show.
I
think last time we talked about the your singles.
Probably 10 book, best decisions a single can make, or single men are like waffles, single woman like spaghetti,
I know, look at you
caring
about singles.
Well, it's good to be back with you.
I know, it's great to have you. They are from San Diego, which is a very nice place, not as nice as Colorado, but it is okay.
And well done, you guys, Lisa.
We do have the beach.
Yeah, they do have the beach. That's
but okay. We don't have the Rockies.
I know. So, yeah. But authors of, you may know them for the Men Are Like Waffles, Women Are Like Spaghetti, which has sold like, what, close to 500,000 copies now.
Pretty close,
in 14 languages.
Whoa.
And yeah, we hope to go to a few more countries and visit the folks that have read it in other places too.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. But they have also written some stuff for singles, which is very exciting because a lot of times we feel like there's not a lot out there for us. And now we're actually going to talk today about one of their newest books called The Before You Marry Book of Questions. And I know because you guys write into me and you're like, what do I need to ask? Well, you know what? Now we know. So this is going to be a great discussion. I think it's going to be a lot of fun because as I'm sure as you guys saw while writing it, more and more singles are bringing variables into relationships. Mm-hmm. So they're marrying later or else they're not having their parents involved or else they're kind of meeting people online. And so there are all kinds of questions and things that need to be figured out.
It's like the Wild West.
It is.
And can I just add just right up front?
Yeah.
The process of gaining wisdom in life is through asking questions.
Yeah.
Like when you ask the how question, when you ask the what question, when you ask the why question, and you really care about the answers, it produces wisdom in your life.
Yeah.
And so it's a great practice to get into.
Yeah.
Now, of course, everybody can take it too far because you can become cynical and you can just become, you know, difficult with a bad attitude and you put off everything by asking questions and questions and questions. Mm-hmm. But if you're sincerely interested in gaining wisdom in life and you just get in the habit of asking questions that you care about, every year that goes by, you have a little bit more insight into how life really works.
Yeah. That's good. Wisdom is good, which is why actually this is a great opportunity for me to say, scope out the Farrells. Go to love-wise.com. They are all about applying wisdom to your relationships, specifically if you are dating or moving into marriage. So you can just stalk them online there and do whatever you want to do. We're not responsible for that. So
Facebook, all right. Friends, Pam and Bill Farrell on Facebook. We like that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That is great. Okay, well, I want to start out kind of where you guys do in the book, and that is figuring out whether or not you're even ready to date. Mm-hmm. And I thought you gave a great list that incorporates a lot of what I just talked about there are so many variables. And can you guys just quickly run through at least a few of those kind of to give people an idea of where they need to start?
Yeah. I mean, the real question is, am I relationship ready? Mm-hmm. Because quality attracts quality. Mm-hmm. So the bigger question is not like, are there quality men left in the world? Are there quality women left in the world?
Yeah, that's what we want to ask.
Yes.
But,
but instead, are we quality people? And so, you know, are we, you know, out of debt? Are we carrying a lot of student loans? That doesn't mean you can't get married if you have student loans, but you have to own your stuff. Are you buying your own shampoo? Mm-hmm. Have you been like independent? Mm-hmm. That's kind of an important commodity if you're a young single. Then on the other end of the spectrum, if you've been single a little while, you know, is your heart relationship ready? Have you recovered from past relationships? Do you feel like you've closed the door on, like, or do you have unfinished business that you need to take care of and go back and mend some fences? So just some practical things as well as some emotional things, and then spiritually ready. You know, are you ready to bring your relationship to God and connect it with another person?
Like the beauty of relationships is they expose who we are. Mm-hmm. So if we're doing well, it's going to expose the fact that we're doing well and it's going to add value to other people's lives. Mm-hmm. The scary part of relationships is they expose who we are.
Yeah.
And so questions like, am I emotionally healthy? In a reasonable way. I mean, we don't want to go so far as to think you have to be perfect, but if you're emotionally reactive to everything that happens around you, you're going to do damage in friendships, and you're going to do damage in any kind of intense relationships simply because you're reacting to everything you're hearing, rather than being able to take significant criticism that's positive or being able to negotiate with people without feeling like it's always personal and it hurts your feelings every time.
Well, and I think that's great why, you know, this is a great reason why we have to do dating in community, because you need that mirror.
Yes.
And I I think there are a lot of people out there, you know, we talk on the Boundless Show about how if your normal is dysfunctional, you're not even going to know what to look for.
You
need people
is.
To tell you. Yeah, you need to know what healthy is so that you know what you're becoming or what you should become and then what you need to look for. Okay, so let's just talk about dating, because here's a question I wanted to throw out to you guys. How, and this is where I feel I've been in some relationships before, is kind of finding that balance. I mean, now, this is like all you super youngsters need to like just go and Google this and figure out. But, you know, like when you talk about the old, like the 50s or 60s sitcoms where it's all fun and game, like Gidget and all these people are out, you know, the Parent Trap, and they're just going out for ice cream sodas.
Right.
Kind of stuff.
Right.
So you, there's this idea that dating should be fun and it's getting to know this person and it's just this, you know, almost honeymoon period of whatever. How do you balance being able to have fun in dating while at the same time realizing that there are some very real things you have to be finding out about this person, you know, without making it a weird job interview, which kind of maybe sometimes you do, but
checklist,
I mean, yeah, it's hard because we all want it to just be all fun and games. And we're like, oh, of course it's going to happen naturally. It's going to be easy. But then you see all these skeletons and craziness and breakups and stuff. So,
and it is important not to like not be afraid of the questions, because you don't want to hurt somebody's heart. So you don't want to get so invested in having fun. Mm-hmm. Oh, you think that? I'm so out of here. Mm-hmm. Well, now you've broken that person's heart.
Right.
And so it's good to accumulate information and make decisions early rather than later in a dating relationship. And the whole concept of the book of questions, it's very personal to Bill and I, because when Bill and I were dating, you know, we're both first generation Christians. And so when we started dating, one of the things that Bill did is he had this relationship notebook.
And all it had in it was questions.
Wow.
Because I didn't have any answers.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't grow up in a Christian home.
Yeah.
I knew I didn't want the kind of relationship my parents had, even though I love my parents. I didn't want that kind of relationship. And I'd never had a Christian girlfriend.
Okay.
So all of a sudden I meet Pam, and I'm thinking, okay, now Pam is a valuable young lady. She's involved in ministry. I don't ever want to mess that up. But I really don't know what to do. And so I would just come, and we would open up the booklet and talk through my questions.
Like before we could go bowling or to the beach, we had to answer Bill's questions for that week. And my friends
so
were like,
a weird job
what? That's kind of weird. Yeah. Yeah. And I said, actually, I think it's really tender that he cares enough about our relationship that he doesn't want to wreck it. And so it was kind of counter-cultural and counterintuitive, but I really valued the work that he was doing, thinking up those questions. And so it became natural for us to ask and answer questions early in our relationship. And then when our own kids, you know, began dating and that, you know, they're in college and they're trying to make these decisions, they would call us, like many of the, you know, Boundless audience probably emails and write you, what questions should I ask? What should I know about their family? You know, what are some red flags? So our own children would ask those questions. And then for years, Bill was a pastor and we also ran college ministry. And so those people would ask us, we thought, you know what, there just needs to be this list of questions that people can use naturally, like over a cup of coffee, you know, when they're out and about on a date. You don't have to go through like all 27 questions right now. You know, just ask a question or two every time you're together, real natural.
Okay.
And what I would say to somebody that came and asked me the question you asked is, I would start off saying every healthy relationship is defined. So if this is a cautious or just a casual friendship, going and having fun is appropriate. And that's really all you want to do, is just go enjoy yourself, have a good time, keep it really casual. If it moves from there to a confident relationship, you have to ask questions to move it there.
Yeah.
Because if you don't get some of the answers and you, in your mind or your heart, you move it to that confident stage, you're likely setting yourself up to be hurt.
Yeah.
And if it's going to become even more intense than that and you're going to start having an exclusive relationship, you have to ask another set of questions.
Committed.
And so you don't have to do it all up front.
Right.
You just have to be committed to the process. When this relationship is moving, you want to ask those questions. And people who don't do that tend to have a series of unhealthy interactions that leave them frustrated.
Well, it's like you'll either be hurt or you'll be in a pseudo relationship for like years.
Right.
You're never even going to get married.
Exactly. Yeah. And a lot of times people don't match their physical boundaries to the place they are in the relationship, you know, whether it's casual or confident or committed. Like there's a series of ways that we should manage our emotions and affections and our sexuality at all those different stages. And our society has it like so backwards. We like give our heart and our body away. Oh, and then we might ask some questions, but that sets everybody up for hurt and pain.
Right. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about friendship, because you guys talk about that as a good basis for a relationship. So of course I have one of my, you know, these are like my singles, but what if kind of questions. So that is good. And I see, like, for me, it's like, oh, I remember when that was so good, like in college, where you're in classes and you're in activities with like-minded. I went to a Christian college, and it was like everyone was friends. So how do you still have a healthy friendship with someone without it turning into what I call the dreaded friendlationship, where it is just this frenzy zone kind of thing, where then one person starts getting attached, the other person still, I'm still friends. You know, I mean, how do you get into a friendship that has, like Bill said, some direction, and you know that it's eventually going to move somewhere?
Well, I think the first place to start is you determining in your heart that that's what it is. Because we often give away signals because we're not sure.
Okay.
This might be a friendship, might be more. And so we give off signals that encourage the other person to go a little bit farther. So it starts off with us deciding. And for some reason, people don't like to be that deliberate in their relationships. They kind of like to let it flow and see what happens. And, you know, the spontaneous thing is so exciting that we don't want to mess it up. And so we don't stop and think, well, what, can we, is this just a friendship? And if it is, and we're solid with that in our heart, we will tend to give the clues to the person that this is just a friendship.
And it's okay to even say it, like, this is where I am right now in life. And this is like where I came from. You know, I'm still getting over some hurts. And so this is what I have to give. And I just want you to know up front. Because I don't want, I value you as a person. I don't want to hurt you. So it's okay to be a little more verbal than most people are by in our society. Right? For some reason, we just don't like to be honest and authentic with our words. We expect people to read our minds. And that's like a lot to ask of people.
Well, and it seems like we let a lot of ambiguity slide. You know, I mean, because what about like, you know, I've been in situations or known people that have been where it's like they've defined that they're actually dating, but then one person is like, okay, but let's just remember, I just want to take it slowly. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean you need a year or you need 10 years? Right. I mean, so it's kind of like, do you need to bring out spreadsheets to determine that? Or what, you know, how, again, I mean, any advice?
It is good to ask for a definition. Anytime that you see ambiguity, just then ask another question. Like, oh, I totally respect that. I'm so glad you shared that with me. But what do you mean more time? Like, what kind of things would you like to do with that time? What would help you find that kind of information? You know, I'm just thinking about my life in the next, you know, 6 months, and I have some decisions to make. So maybe you could give me just some idea of what you would say as more time, and just try to pull a little bit more information out. You don't have to get out the shining light and do an interrogation, but just to get a little bit better definition.
Well, which may actually help them get some clarity too.
Exactly.
You know, because I think sometimes people use the "I need more time" as a cop out.
Yeah.
And speaking as the male in the room, ambiguity tends to reflect fear. Like a lot of men they don't really know what to do. So there's this kind of fear element. Like, I don't really know how to navigate this. And I don't want her to think too much, but I don't want her to think I'm not interested. And we just, and so it tends to come from a place of fear.
Okay.
And the way to help people get past fear is to create a decisive environment. So it would be helpful if you set up your own deadline. And if they won't, say, well, if this thing isn't moving anywhere in 3 months, then I will move it on.
Okay.
Because it brings it to a point of decision, and if the person that you're talking to is going to get over the fear, it's going to be because they take on the decision.
Okay. All right. So moving on to the topic of compatibility, which you guys address in here as well. And, you know, again, we're talking about we need to address the balance between you feel like you're just compatible with everyone, or like you say, you know, well, I'm in love with this person, so of course that must mean we're compatible.
Right.
Versus the opposite extreme of, which was my story, I have my list of 50 qualities that this person has to meet, and that means that we're compatible. So if you could describe, first of all, what compatibility is, and then what level do you have to know that you can move ahead?
Right. The place where compatibility is most important is at your core value level. You know, one person can be a night person. One person can be an early morning. One person can like to, you know, be more social than the other. Those are nuances that you can kind of work out. I like to dance. I've never taken a dance lesson. You know what? You can work those kind of things out, mm-hmm. but what you can't work out are those core values, like what's your definition of who God is, mm-hmm. and what does faith look like to you? What is integrity to mm-hmm. you? What does honesty look like? Do you want children? That's kind of even a big deal. So looking at those super core values and seeing how close you can connect, mm-hmm. and oftentimes a really great way to find those things out is to get to know the family of the other person. It's mm-hmm. not two people that marry. It's actually two families that come together. And I think that we're most authentic when we're with our family. Mm-hmm. You know, that's who we mm-hmm. spent all of our time growing up with. And so they know us really well. Mm-hmm. And I really think it's a little more healthy if we would invite the closest friends and the closest family in earlier to our relationships mm-hmm. and not be this total solo dating, just the two of us. Mm-hmm. 'Cause we really don't get a lot of information that's in context when it's just two people alone on a date. So yeah. the more inclusive and, like you say, community that you can build, I think the safer and wiser you become.
Okay. Now, does that mean, what if, you know, when you're talking about families, and I know you put this in your list of if you're ready to date as well, but looking at, say, you're marrying into a family that has a lot of divorce, including the person you're dating. I mean, how, you know, do you have to early on in the relationship be asking these, again, this is where it gets weird, like asking questions about exes and all kinds of stuff. I mean, again, that's just like, downer. I don't know, but, right. but again, stuff you have to know.
You should know what your deal breakers are. It's mm-hmm. only fair that that person knows what your deal breakers are early mm-hmm. on in the relationship mm-hmm. before they invest time, money, energy, their heart. Mm-hmm. And everybody should just have a handful. It's not like we need 75 deal breakers. Mm-hmm. You know, that will exclude a lot of really great, healthy people. Mm-hmm. Just a handful of really core values.
Okay. And one of the things that, it's one of our goals to make it common knowledge, mm-hmm. that family influences repeat themselves unless you put a lot of effort into change. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So somebody who has a string of divorces or a string of alcoholism or there's anger issues, you know, for generations, mm-hmm. those things are going to repeat themselves unless the person you're looking in the eyes is willing to put in a large amount of energy and smart energy mm-hmm. to change those things. Mm-hmm. And so early on, it's good to know, does this person have the resolve to do the kind of personal growth that would put that to an end in his life or her life? But as far as probing, like unless you're moving this relationship to a more committed relationship, mm-hmm. you don't have to probe all that stuff because you can be friends with people who don't necessarily share all the same core values that you share in life. Mm-hmm. You just don't want to connect your heart to them
right.
in a romantic way.
And for me, one of the things that was a deal breaker is not only did they need to claim that they, quote, were a Christian, because I wanted our faith to be compatible. That was very important to me. Mm-hmm. But are they a growing Christian?
Right.
Like, do I see in that man's life that he is growing closer to God? Is his, you know, is he in the Word? Is he praying? Is he praying with me and for me? Mm-hmm. Is he a light to the community? Is he a good role model? Like, I wanted a growing spouse because I didn't want to marry somebody who, like, claimed to be something and then after the I do, this total other person shows up.
Right.
And so I needed to date them, Bill, long enough to see that he was authentic. And he needed to date me long enough to see that I was authentic in our growing relationship with God, because we come from a lot of dysfunction. Between us, we have everything it takes to, like, blow up a relationship. Mm. Firstborn daughter of an alcoholic dad, severe rage issues. I grew up in a family with a lot of domestic violence. And then Bill...
And my mom has struggled with a mental illness most of her life and has made every decision in her life based on fear. So it would be easy for me to be attracted to somebody who lives by fear.
And so we're not saying that you have to have perfect families. Mm-hmm. What we're saying is you know what's going on in the other person's life and have they healed? Mm-hmm. Have they allowed God to grow them up to be able to manage that complicated world that we live in?
Yeah. So let's say, what does this look like? And Bill, maybe you can speak to this because this would be something to do with men. Like as a woman, like I'm pretty direct and I feel like I would go into a relationship and be like, okay, here's what I need to know and I'm going to ask these questions and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I have that tension of how do you know when you have to take the reins and get in there and, you know, I mean, how much grace do you give a guy based on what his background is versus, because, you know, we'll say, well, we need to let the guy lead. We need to let him do his style and stuff, where I'd rather just take over and be like, here's what we're putting on the table and this is when we're doing it, okay? I mean, so where, but yet I don't want someone like super passive, so how do I make sure I'm not
Well, first of all, let me just own up to the obvious.
I apparently am operating off fear. I'm like scared right now, Bill. I don't even know who to ask.
Like you ladies put a lot more effort into relationships than us guys do.
Okay.
Okay, so like men, when we were growing up, we were not thinking about marriage. We weren't thinking about the women that are coming to our life. We weren't thinking about kids. We were thinking about cars and balls and guitars.
And we're drawing our wedding gown,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And so when we talk about relationships, it's pretty typical for women to be ahead in the discussion mm-hmm. than the men are. Mm-hmm. And as a man, I would say we don't mind you initiating as long as there's room for us to respond. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes you bringing it up is the wake-up call. Like, okay, we need to deal with this. I didn't think about it ahead of time, mm-hmm. but we need to deal with this. But then if you keep leading the conversation and you don't let me jump in and become an equal in the conversation, mm-hmm. I'm going to start to think, well, she wants me to be passive.
And mm-hmm. She won't be able to follow my leadership because she's not respecting it.
Okay.
Right.
So there's a
So the guys do need to eventually like get the cue and pick it up though. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's a good.
Yeah. Because if I don't, like if I were to role play, if I don't pick it up, mm-hmm. then I'm never going to have ownership of this relationship.
Yeah.
And that's going to sow the seeds of failure in it.
Okay. And one of the ways that we women who maybe have a stronger personality, I can speak for self on that one, you know, type A kind of person.
I mean, that's not me, but you know.
One of the ways that we can be ourselves but follow their leadership is when we ask these questions, like stop and listen mm-hmm. at the answers mm-hmm. and then ask for more. And or how do you think that will hit our relationship, or what? How do you see that impacting our future? Mm-hmm. And so when we ask more questions, it's actually our way of following and helping him lead us. Mm-hmm. And we can even suggest, and it's like, you know, I would feel really comfortable right now if you would like stop and pray for this area. Mm-hmm. This seems like it could be a roadblock. If we will give him the opportunity to succeed mm-hmm. by giving him what our needs are, so that he knows what it is that we're looking for. Hmm.
And my other advice to all of you is when a guy makes a clear statement of conviction, mm-hmm. accept it. Because what happens so often is we make a clear statement of what we want in a relationship or what we or where we would take things, mm-hmm. and it launches a whole discussion where it gets evaluated.
Okay. Can mm-hmm. you give an example of that? What's a clear statement of conviction?
Well, if I were to say, I think it's really important that we continue to spend time with our friends while we're dating.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and so I would like to have a couple evenings a week where I am free to spend time with my friends because my friendships are important, just like our relationship's important.
And mm-hmm. then if the next week she comes back, you just don't love me because you're like not spending time with me. Mm-hmm.
Or you start saying, well, okay, well, this week you can have Tuesday and Thursday, but next week you're going to have to switch it to Wednesday and Friday. And now yeah. it becomes an ongoing negotiation.
Yeah.
Because, again, I think conversations are more ongoing okay. for you ladies. Like for guys, we kind of like to settle issues and move on.
Okay.
And so when I feel like I can't take a stand with you that gets respected, if it mm-hmm. continues to get reworked and moved and managed, I just lose interest.
Yeah, they'll mm-hmm. unplug and go somewhere else.
Okay, good to know. Okay, finally, just quickly here as we wrap up, you decide that it's not going to move ahead. You decide mm-hmm. that it shouldn't work out. However you get there, I don't know. I think most singles seem to have that problem, too. But help us understand when to know when it's time to go and to move on.
Well, one is relationships shouldn't always have to be so difficult. Mm-hmm. And so if you always feel like you're working out issues, mm-hmm. that probably is a clue that maybe you're great people, mm-hmm. but not great together. Mm. Or maybe you're great people, but maybe this is not great timing in your lives. Mm. And so look for the ease and comfort level of your relationship. I think those that God calls together, there may be a few at the beginning things to work out, but pretty soon you fall into a rhythm that you're both flourishing, you're both growing, you're both able to achieve goals. You're good for each other. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have that feeling of, you know what, my life is better with you in it mm-hmm. and your life is better with me in it, mm-hmm. then it's kinder to free them mm-hmm. for the person that God has called than mm-hmm. to hang on out of your own insecurity.
Okay.
And I would say if you come to the conclusion that you cannot reach your most important goals with this person in your life, it's time to move on. If unhealthy patterns of their family are showing up more and more as you're getting closer
into your relationship,
it's time to get out of the relationship. Or if your world is shrinking, like the more time you spend with this person, the smaller your opportunities get, and the smaller your friendship circle gets, and the smaller your sense of being able to be yourself is, it's time to get out.
Yeah, if you're losing who you are. Definitely.
Or if there's a major discrepancy in your core values.
Yeah.
So this person would like to get together and smoke marijuana, but you really are adamantly against it.
Mm-hmm. It's like, whoa.
If this person says, I don't think church is that important, but it's really important to you.
Yeah.
If they say, I think kids should be ignored as much as possible and out of the way as much as possible because they're just a hassle, but you really value kids, like those should be deal breakers.
Okay.
When there's major discrepancies in your core values.
Okay. Unless you're in Colorado for the pot thing. It's all good here. It's all good. So,
but just don't
people
drive.
Do it at weddings at this point. Yeah. Okay. The book is the Before You Marry Book of Questions. I've been talking to Bill and Pam Farrell. Great insights, you two. Thank you so much. And thanks for being a few steps ahead of all of us to be able to look back over that marriage divide and help conquer some of the fears. I think that people are afraid to tackle head on. So
we wish you well, because relationships are powerful. It's either a great ride or it creates damage.
Love and marriage, all that can be a very good thing. Don't be afraid of it. We have a big God.
Well, we love you here at The Boundless Show. Love-wise.com is the website. And again, check out the book. We're having it linked on the blog. So thanks so much, you two.
Thank you.